Time for Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 3 years has shared with us her decades' research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative and judicial processes in America. And now, here's Mae.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Brussel at Carmel, California. Okay, it's Mae Brussel, Carmel, California. I think it is October the 7th. Not sure. I lost track of the day. I think that's it. And it's Monday afternoon out here. I received a letter from Boston University, one of our sister stations that holds KLRB's Dialogue Conspiracy every week. And they're going to have a fundraising, listener-sponsored station. And they asked me to put in a word this week. And for the next few weeks, they want a pitch. The news department suggested that you send donations to this station to continue for programs such as Dialogue Conspiracy. They pay a certain amount each week so you can get this program back there. I have been getting checks from people in the Boston area and letters with money enclosed just thanking me for being on the air and donations towards my research. And I really appreciate that. And one of the things that you can do is, instead of sending it to me, send money right directly to the station and tell them that you enjoy the program and you want to continue, and send your donation in that way. You can send me the letter if you have any questions. I received a pile of mail when I came in the station today, and I do want to go into some of that. But I don't have time this week because I have a broad amount of material to cover. And we'll take one program probably in about 2 weeks and answer questions that I've been getting in the mail and devote that program to answering specific questions. So if you have money in Boston or within listening distance of the station back there, WBUR, and you want to show your appreciation for Dialogue Conspiracy, send that money to the station to continue the show and for other programs that they have. They have a wide range of programs that are of interest, and you should send money to help support that station. I want to talk today about violence. There are two things in this country that would bring a police state, according to the RAND studies a few years ago. One is a depression, and the other is enough terrorism, where people would want a police state or it would be forced upon them. It's the identical pattern that took place in Nazi Germany. And it's important to go into the angles of terrorism and also pertaining to the nomination of Mr. Rockefeller as our vice president. He, as an international banker with his vast holdings, would be partly responsible, he and his kind, for a depression that we're having in this country or people are fearing. And then, not coincidentally, along with his escalation to power and those maneuvers that took place in the last 2 years in Washington, D.C., we get a brand of terrorism that I think has been systematically foisted upon us since World War II, but has broken out with the SLA, as I stated in my article on the SLA, and I'll read you a quotation on that in a minute. Gerald Ford says that the biggest problem in the country is the economy, and a lot of people think it is, worrying how to fight inflation and job opportunities, and along with that, starvation and famine around the world. But hand in glove with the economy problem and the sister of that is the depression, which I say brings in fascism. I do believe that the worldwide depression that people fear, the economic chaos, is caused by fascists who have maintained power since World War II in this country, and they have the assistance of known war criminals from World War II, and that the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency in the United States are simply a tool to implement whatever the wealthy bankers or the industrials want, and that the example, which is becoming more exposed now and that which I've been talking about for at least a year, is Chile, how in order to overthrow Allende, strikes were caused, the labor parties were infiltrated by the CIA, funded money was sent over there to help overthrow that government. And the way it was possible was to create so much economic chaos and hardship among all the people that a change of administration after Allende was killed looked like it was going to be a change for the better, and it actually wasn't. And the economic chaos, the strikes, were all manipulated, including the murder of Salvador Allende. And I was going to go into the Green Beret part of it, continuing from last week's show, but I wanted to go on to some other material, which I think is more important, and I can get back to that also. Equally important as the energy crisis, the economic problems today, the number one problem I consider facing this country in the domestic scene is terrorism, bombings, and kidnappings. And I believe, through my research, they're caused by the local police departments, the national police, and the international police, all working as one. I believe that the Hearst kidnapping, the creation of the SLA by the CIA and the intelligence agencies, working with our prison systems, with the police and FBI, was the beginning of bombings, terrorism, germ warfare that will escalate into a repression of all third world people around the world. And I want to go into some of the details of the things that I'm saying today. I'm going into an organization called the USTACI, U-S-T-A-C-I. And I want you to do some homework and write to your congressmen and senators about the USTACI, and that bulk of the program is going to be on that. They're a fascist organization formed in Yugoslavia, very active in after World War I in Europe. They've been in business for 40 years. One of the members of the USTACI is in Huntington Beach, California, affiliated with the Los Angeles Police Department. Mr. Arturkovich, he was supposed to be deported as a war criminal. The papers still stand for him to be deported, and the powers that be are protecting him down in Huntington Beach in California. And the USTACI were formed by Mussolini following the killing of King Alexander in Yugoslavia in 1934, and the two men responsible for that murder went right to Italy and began to form a fifth establishment to go in and spread terror in Yugoslavia, to break up the Yugoslavian people and prepare the way for Hitler and Mussolini to come. And then one of those men that had hostage in Italy with Mussolini and ran extermination camps in Yugoslavia that were so terrible that the Germans told them to cool it a little, their torturing and their extermination camps were so bad. That man is down in California, at Huntington Beach, California, still protected. And it's his ilk from the USTACI that are responsible for a great deal of the hijackings and the terrorism that have taken place and that are taking place. In the article I did on the SLA, I compared the future terrorism and bombings that we'd see in the United States to the contrived hijackings that have taken place in the last few years for the sole purpose of getting more guards at every airport, police to search everybody so that the mobility of people going in and out, traveling, can always be curtailed or stopped and people can be searched. And besides that, there are big profits, I read this year, each airline by having these guards at the airport. The USTACI was incorporated into the SS troops of Hitler, the Nazi Gestapo, and they conducted extermination camps, as I said, during World War II. And following World War II, the combined agents of Reinhard Gehlen, that's Chief of Intelligence for Hitler, Eastern Division, combined with the USTACI and the CIA funded both groups. Members of the USTACI were allowed to move to Argentina. Maybe you've been reading that there's one political murder a day in Argentina, and there's about that many taking place in the United States, if you read carefully papers from around the country. They were allowed to move to Spain, Argentina, Latin America, and they also work, according to a document I received by a very serious researcher who had done extensive work on the labor movement and CIA in Chile, they also work out of the Los Angeles Police Department. Now, the USTACI also have headquarters in Australia. The Yugoslavian connection is important. We'll go into that a little bit. This, as I say, this is a group of people that are not political Yugoslavs. They are police fascists. They represent, like Goering and Himmler, they are fascists. And the Yugoslav connection specifically in California involves this Andrea Arturkovich down at Huntington Beach. And you've heard me talk on the program many times, and I mentioned it in my Realist article, a man named Vladimir Zatko. That's his alias. His other name, his real name, is Eugene Rangel, who was brought from Yugoslavia. And allegedly, he says that E. Howard Hunt had given him $25,000 to kill Sirhan Sirhan. Now, there's a document in the hands of a Judge McBride in California alleging that the White House plumbers wanted this man. He took the name of a dead person in Yugoslavia, and the CIA gave him his identity. And I believe that the same people that obliged the White House by getting rid of an alleged assassin, just in the same way that Lee Harvey Oswald had to be murdered to hide the truth of it, John Kennedy assassination, these Yugoslavian connections are important because it means that they're working inside the prison systems, which we know is happening. Placer, I know the CIA and the CII and the criminal conspiracy section of Los Angeles Police Department, all linked to the White House. So this particular member of the Ustasi is up at San Quentin. Then we have Mr. Muharrem Kerbekovic, I can't pronounce it very well, Kerbekovic, who is supposed to be the bomber in Los Angeles. He says he isn't the bomber, and I'll read you some remarks in the paper this week that he claims he's not the bomber, and he claims that he's placed there. He had an interview with the press today, this week in Los Angeles, and claimed that whoever is framing him for the bombing at the airport that killed three people and the alleged bombing that was supposed to go off the Greyhound stations, he said that these people own the Los Angeles Police Department and that he's in the cell next to a hitman, which means if you read it carefully, his life is probably in danger. So we have this supposed mute who hasn't said a word since he's been in this country with two master's degrees in electric engineering and other engineering subjects, well-educated, coming from Yugoslavia to Germany, the same path that all these other people have taken to Canada, and then ends up in Los Angeles as supposedly the mad bomber. He claims that there is somebody else. Now, he may be like Oswald and Sirhan and Ray. He may be a patsy, and he may actually be a mute. The landlady said he speaks. He claims he never lived at the place. It's not true that they're lying about him, but he's caught now with a hitman in the cell. So we have Mr. Kerbekovic, we have Vladimir Zatko, that alias, and we have down in Manhattan Beach, Mr. Artukovic. So we have this Yugoslavian connection, and I think the Ustasi is very important for researchers on the East Coast or the West or Middle, whoever is listening, to begin to write to congressmen to ask them exactly what is taking place. And the important thing is that a group of these people from the Ustasi were in Sweden and hijacked an airplane and asked for six members of that were in prison in Sweden. They had killed a Yugoslavian official in prison in Sweden in 1971. And there were six men in prison, and they asked that they have an airplane asylum to go to Spain, which was one of the headquarters of the organization. It happens to be the Ustasi. And they landed in Spain and got asylum there, and they were protected. And the landing of the Swedish plane with these men from the prison in Sweden and a booty of money besides, taking place in 71. And the reason I'm going into this so much in my research is that the one common denominator between all of this, the Nazis involved in the Watergate, the Nazis in the John Kennedy assassination, Ustasi, the stormtroopers, and the Nazis down in Miami Beach, the SS stormtrooper that worked with Donald Segretti, who was meeting Mr. E. Howard Hunt. The one common denominator through all of this is E. Howard Hunt. He seems to be the link. I'll briefly touch on the ITT with members of the Gestapo on their board of directors. And E. Howard Hunt had a desk at Mullen Associates, a public relations office, and that represents two well-known clients, Howard Hughes and the ITT. And it was Hughes who said after the Martin Luther King murder that the blacks had gone as far as they're going to go in 100 years. A racist organization, fascist organizations, and the common denominator through all of this is Watergate defendant E. Howard Hunt, who is not in jail, who's down in Florida, but seems to be the common link of all the things, the alleged wanting to kill up at the Sirhan up at San Quentin, Hunt's name runs through all of this. The Ustasi organization, as I say, started in 1934 when King Alexander of Yugoslavia was murdered, and two men, Mr. Pavelić and Artukovic, got asylum in Italy. Mussolini gave them asylum. And just as recently as September 16, 72, is when the terrorists landed in Sweden and hijacked this airplane. And the important thing is that bombings of airplanes, hijacking of airplanes, you're being told that these are radical terrorist group and they're right-wing terrorist group. There was a bombing in Australia at the same time the airplane was hijacked in Sweden, and they were bargaining. And this bombing injured quite a few people. It was in Sydney, Australia. This was the same Ustasi group. And a man from Sweden, from Australia, had been in Sweden with these people just prior to the hijacking plane. And there were links, the intelligence agents and police linked Australia Ustasi to Swedish Ustasi. So when you read that a plane is hijacked, you're made to believe that these are left-wing. And they are right-wing fascists that date back to World War One and are working together with younger teams, but the same older people are directing and calling the shots. There was a bombing of an airplane over Czechoslovakia in January 1972 that blew up, and everyone except one stewardess was murdered, everyone aboard. That was Ustasi. I say the bombing, we don't know how many of these bombings, and I think these bombings in California could follow the same pattern of the bombings in the East or the arsenals that these people have been trained specifically in bombing and in terrorism, and they've been schooled in this. This has gone on for 40 years and was tested and tried in pre-Hitler days until Hitler finally took over and Mussolini took over, and these men were allowed asylum to come to this country and come to Latin America and Spain. And E. Howard Hunt had a desk in Spain. His wife was higher in the CIA than he was, I understand. She worked at the Spanish embassy, and E. Howard Hunt was in Spain, and we have to get the dates that he was there because he's been linked to other assassinations for the CIA for using silencer weapons. This was suggested by one of their team in a magazine recently, St. George, that E. Howard Hunt, and we know he was in Spain, and there were people involved in the Hearst kidnapping plot that also traveled in Spain. That's why I put it in my article and mentioned Spain as being a center of a meeting place. I know that it was the hub of something that was going on, and maybe it was to pave the way for this future terrorism. Now, I think that it's important when you're studying terrorism and kidnapping to realize that a whole spate of new books are going to come out on the SLA that are going to give you a different picture of the thing that I've tried to put in my article in The Realist. The gist of my article on the Patricia Hearst kidnapping is that terrorism in this country is going to escalate, and bombing will escalate, and kidnapping will increase, and that it is done by well-coordinated intelligence agents of the right, not the left. They may use the left for fronts, just like Louis Tackwood said in the Glass House tapes, and personally, from his work in the Los Angeles Police Department, he was used or was going to be used to hire or get radicals to demonstrate at the political convention down in San Diego. That was the Squad 19 plan. But he knew then that he would be killed. He was smarter than DeVries. He realized that he would be killed doing the job. Authentic radicals or hippies or protesters are used. It's a cover. It covers the real action, that who is behind the bombs that come down later or the violence or the terrorism. And so a lot of the radicals in the prison, particularly the ones that I've corresponded with for a long time, their nose is really out of joint when you talk about the SLA being a CIA job, and they want to believe that it is. But as the news evolves in the next year or 2 years, if we're all here to watch it, I think if enough researchers or people get to it and ask Congress to investigate these bombings, they're going to find an altogether different picture. There's a new book. It's coming out by Marilyn Baker from San Francisco, from the newsroom at KQED, called Exclusive, and it's on the SLA. And she tries to give the image that the SLA was a group of young hippie kids testing their radical muscles. And the advertisement on the book has a picture of Patty Hearst. It says, a child playing conquest. And then Woolly Wolf, it says, he was a center of attention, something he never enjoyed in life. And there's a thing about Patricia Salsic, and it said she was bisexual, the brains of the SLA, whom Sun Kyu was little more than a cook or a handyman. Well, Marilyn Baker has a book where she interprets what were in these people's heads and will leave out all the evidence of the co-conspirators that were actually government agents. And the FBI supports this theory down the line. I called an attorney today to see about filing a citizen suit against this book specifically, and you could do it on about these other SLA books too, that they should be able to give documentation, like I try to do with my research, to have some basis in fact for coming to some of these opinions instead of having these romantic stories about these radicals, because the Ustasi group is well-trained. It's well-trained in dividing people. That's what Reinhard Gehlen was the best in doing in Germany intelligence, was dividing individual groups against each other. And in this case, it confuses the radicals, the farm workers, the United Prisoners Union, and everybody wants to believe that somebody out there is rooting for them. And each group is splintered and divided. That is the specialty of the Ustasi. Along with this romantic story came one article this week, just yesterday's paper on the SLA, that the FBI believes that they may be hiding some more people, that the SLA has 9 more members because they found names at the house at the time it burned down. Now, they published these names. This is October, came out October the 6th, and the house burned down in May. This is what I call delayed evidence, like Oswald's diary that is, in fact, forged. I don't believe it existed. They have to keep the news media, the CIA branch of the news media, the Pentagon, has to keep the fantasy going of that great mystery army. And even Mr. Charles Bates, in answering those rumors that this slip of paper was found with names and supporting evidence of other members of the SLA, October the 7th, one day later, Charles Bates of the FBI came out with an amazing statement. He said he didn't know anything about these code names. You see, the FBI, let me interject here, is having a power struggle between itself and the CIA, and the CIA intends to take over the FBI completely. Some of that came out at the time of the Watergate, taking things from J. Edgar Hoover's desk, taking authority, having a private intelligence team inside the White House to bypass the FBI. So what I call the Pentagon CIA machinery puts out an article that more names were found at the burned-out house and supplies delayed evidence, which they do in every one of these major conspiracies. But then Charlie Bates of the FBI, who certainly would be the first person to see this investigating the case, denies it, and he says, we don't know of anything about these names or lists. And then he goes on to say that Patricia Hearst and Bill and Emily Harris remain the only SLA members of the FBI sought by the FBI, regardless of whether other members exist. Now, that is a very revealing sentence if you read the article that I did on the SLA. Even if there's other members and they exist, he said the only one sought by the FBI. Well, why would that be? You see, 2 black men kidnapped Patricia Hearst along with one other person. They don't want that other man. 2 black men were seen with Patty Hearst the night that she was last seen, allegedly Sunday night at Mrs. Alcala's. The FBI don't want those people. There were other men who bought the cars, the vans that took them from San Francisco to L.A. There were people that arranged the housing. All of these are military police. This is an intelligence operation. This is the tactical support. If they picked up a few legitimate radicals or leftists or people of the women's movement in the Bay Area, the tactical support for the whole thing before they wiped them out and murdered them and shot them at close range came from the intelligence operations. But the FBI doesn't want them. Why don't they want them? Can you imagine a group of Muslims shooting a white professor or the head of the education department in Oakland, and they don't seek them? They only put 2 in jail, and they're bragging about killing the man, and they don't seek the others. Can you see going a group of people going into a bank, if they were Muslims or Black Liberation or Black Panthers, robbing a bank and bragging about it on tapes, and the FBI wouldn't want them anymore and wouldn't post their pictures, even though they knew who they were, or shooting out you know, down in Los Angeles with weapons, and somebody's hiding these people with getaway cars and transportation. Can you picture any legitimate radical group that the FBI or the CIA or the local police departments wouldn't want if they already said they worked as a team and had tactical support? The only reason the FBI doesn't want any other members of the SLA is that that's their tactical support, their police teams, and they don't want to be caught with them. They've got too much, and they'll just settle for the Harrises. Now, another thing in the news, getting back to the Ustasi, the kind of thing that is important to go into, is ITT Hotel in Los Angeles was blasted, and a group known as the New World Liberation Front, called the New World Liberation Front, said that they did this bombing down at the hotel, the ITT Hotel, by the airport again, this explosion, because of a reign of terror in Chile after Allende was murdered. This was in the San Francisco Chronicle, and a UPI story says, radicals admit to bombing. It says, a caller claiming to represent the New World Liberation Front ripped apart a restroom in a plush hotel. Now, the truth is that just because they're called the New World Liberation Front doesn't mean they're radicals at all. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. This is what happened in Italy, Yugoslavia, and all over the world. The right-wing terrorists, like the Ustasi, if it wasn't them, can do this. Why do they come to the conclusion that they're radicals? Remember, Mr. Kerbekovich down in Los Angeles called himself Aliens of America, and his excuse for killing people at the airport, where three died at the Pan Am station, and bombing the airport locker there, the excuse was that for Chicanos in Los Angeles that had been killed by the police. And he turned out to be a right-wing paramilitary man who had no relationship to the Chicano community at all and didn't do the Chicanos a bit of favor, was an agent provocateur who was earning $1,000 a month at a engineering place in a lab, so that he wasn't oppressed. He wasn't concerned. The aliens he's talking about were the right wing. And in Yugoslavia, the Ustasi was a right-wing group, and their cover story was that they were very altruistic. I'll read you some of the examples. They not only divided the people, but their cover was that they were doing a favor for the oppressed. And that's how they came on. And this same team, or possibly could be the same team of the Ustasi that were working in Sweden, Czechoslovakia, Australia, that have been linked to the Los Angeles Police Department, because they bombed the ITT Hotel, and then the ITT in San Francisco got a scare too today. That doesn't mean they're radicals. The headline, the Pentagon cover story, can carry a UPI service and say, radicals admit to bombing. And just because it's called the New World Liberation Front, has no, or Aliens of America, could be as far right as the SS, the Gestapo. It doesn't mean at all that radicals bomb the ITT. Evel Younger is the Attorney General in California, and he's running for office this November, in spite of the fact that his name is linked to military intelligence, and he still has a commission in the military. He's linked to the White House. His name has been named in a lawsuit for covering up the Robert Kennedy conspiracy when he was district attorney down in Los Angeles. Evel Younger plays on his military role assignment and had an article just last week. This is the headline, Younger Warns of Domestic Super Violence. Well, of course he can warn it. It's going to happen. And he doesn't have any great insight. He's connected to the military, and the military is allowing it to happen. Evel Younger said that he's been trying to set up a war games project to combat domestic terrorism. And he feared, he said, the terrorists, financed by the proceeds of bank robberies and stolen credit cards, would use chemical or biological warfare or mass destruction. Now, the truth is that the terrorists aren't financed by the bank robberies necessarily at all. They're heavily financed, like Turkovich and the men that got asylum over in Spain from Sweden are financed by out of the country from Canada. And Canada is linked to United States intelligence. The money is coming from much bigger sources than these bank robberies. The only value in the bank robbery is to give an official version of the financing, but it's much larger than that. So Evel Younger goes to the California Assemblyman of the Senate, and he gives warning about terrorist groups that are Marxist-Leninist and talks about the SLA and the Weather Underground. But he never goes into his role as General Air Force Intelligence. He still carries the commission or his links to the CIA and the FBI, and he carries on the Pentagon story about terrorism where the actual tactical support is ignored. Now, the only way to back up the things that I'm saying, or one of the ways to back it up, is to write to Mr. Kelly of the FBI in Washington, D.C., and write to senators, too, and ask why the SLA is only consisting of Emily William Harris. Why aren't they looking for the other man that kidnapped Patricia Hearst? Why aren't they looking for the people that were with her when she was charged with an assault? Why aren't they looking for people who brought them transportation down to Los Angeles? Because even if they were using bank money to buy the cars, that was stolen money from a bank, so they're co-conspirators. Get to those questions, because we know that Mr. Kelly and Mr. Saxby and Colby are part of this secret team that was appointed by Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford goes along with that team and won't replace them. And unless you pin them with these questions, and I think you can pin them with these questions, you're going to see a lot more of the Ustasi in the United States and terrorism, and it's going to increase. And unless we get these, a lot of these Nazi war criminals deported and illustrate their role with what they're doing right now at the current time, Hitler in Germany seems a long way away, but it isn't. And I do want to go into the links of the Nazis in the all the assassinations in the Watergate, and also now with the terrorism. Well, who are the Ustasi? That's one of the questions. Who are they? What do they want? Who finances them? They're well-financed. And how come they maintain worldwide offices in Argentina, Spain, England, Canada, and the United States? There's a book, new book, out by Miles Copeland. He's a member of the CIA. He's been there since the OSS days. The book's called Without Cloak or Dagger, and in there he talks about the largest intelligence operation in the world called Operation Octopus, and he refers to it's a file on terrorism and New Left and worldwide terrorism. And I would bet my last bottom dollar that what Operation Octopus actually is the use of the Ustasi with the Galen agents and the local police departments forming in the United States, like the SWAT teams around the United States, and creating the violence, then creating the troops to come in afterwards. I believe that the Ustasi are Nazis, Germans, and Italians that will cause insecurity at airports and have caused at bus stations and in our various cities until we have weapons, and that the violence that took place in the Balkans in World War I has moved into this country. The actual agents are here, the techniques are here, and right down the line, their techniques are so identical to what happened in Europe, and the people are here. So it has to be more than a coincidence that all of this is taking place in this country at this time. The two factors, the depression and the terrorism. In the way I started that article I did on Patricia Hearst kidnapping, I said the kidnapping of Patricia Campbell Hearst was as vital to the creation of the SLA as the murder of Archduke Franz Ferdinand was to the beginning of World War I. Both the kidnapping and the murder were used as an excuse to declare war. The ensuing battle had been carefully prepared and anticipated by the merchants of death. And in this case, the merchants of death, you know, are the manufacturers of the weapons. The end goal of the SLA would be World War III, to plunge the Third World masses into starvation and slavery. The Third World inside the United States is the next selected victim. Well, this team that in the Balkans in 1914 that actually did murder the Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand were associated with bombings and knifings and revolvers. And it was after 1914, when that war was over, that Yugoslavia was split. And I've been reading a document somebody sent to me from the Bay Area, and Mr. Larson, on the problems in Yugoslavia, how the Ustasi got formed. He's done quite a bit of research on it, and he said that after World War I, in 1918, Yugoslavia became a national modern national country with its own boundaries, but it was chopped up by the Versailles Treaty. And an area known as Croatia formed the Eustaces. They became the military arm of the Austria-Hungary crown, the group that had been divided up, and a great deal of them were soldiers and mercenaries. And they worked in Italy and came back to become agents and traders, and they went back to their own country to take control then of Yugoslavia, and they didn't like the way that it had been divided up, and they helped Mussolini conquer that country. In 1934, these people, the two that I mentioned, Pavelić and Arčurković, were responsible for killing the king of Yugoslavia. He was trying to build a bind against fascism and work out a détente with a French foreign minister, and he went to Marseille. And when he was murdered, the two men that murdered him fled to Italy, were working with Mussolini, were given asylum. Then when Mussolini moved into Yugoslavia and Hitler, they were given the role of conducting the extermination camps, the actual extermination camps. And one of those men, Arčurković, is in California. Mr. Pavelić was supposed to have moved to Latin America and have died several years ago. There was another story that he's still living in Spain. And there's no way, there's two versions of what happened to him. But one is sitting here with deportation papers and hasn't left California and gone back to Yugoslavia, where they want him for murdering women, children, and running mass extermination camps in Yugoslavia. At the same time that the Eustasi were being formed in Yugoslavia, this was in 1934, Reinhard Gehlen was forming, had been very much into German intelligence since the Versailles Treaty, also since 1920, and he worked in German intelligence, began subverting the German government, the German military, illegally arming Germany. There's a book I refer to often called Gehlen, the Spy of the Century by Cookreach. There's many books out about Reinhard Gehlen. But his planning, the book describes him as his calculated, deliberately planned, meticulous, far in advance. He said that no plan would take too long, and he could wait 20 years to achieve any plan that he wanted. And he set up Nazis behind Eastern Europe in many cities with radio stations, and we incorporated his spies and his emigres into our CIA when World War II was over. Gehlen was brought into this country. Now, Galen's specialty was to break up unrelated groups. He would go into these groups that had their own thing going individually. Take, for example, say the United Farm Workers isn't into the women's group here, or the Prisoners Union isn't in to another group. He would take individual groups in Germany and break them up and divide them against each other. Where they were seemingly unrelated, he would put police agents and break up all these small groups against each other. And one of the patterns the Eustasi worked as they were working over in Europe was the same thing that Gehlen was doing. And as I say, the Eustasi used the cover of humanitarian work. All the things that they were doing and the groups that they set up all were humanitarian, and they were supposed to be serving society, and all the time they were nothing but walking SS troops with no great political body behind them. If any of these Eustasi are sent to Yugoslavia, they are given a death penalty or put in prison. They're not wanted there. They're known as war criminals, but there's still a whole young branch active today, and there were a group that set off bombs in Australia that were deported and sent to prison. Some were executed, came back to Yugoslavia to start uprisings in Yugoslavia and were killed. Some were put in prison and some were killed. They don't want them there. But they're all over the world, funded by the CIA through the Gehlen operation and through American financiers and through Canada. When this plane landed from Stockholm, Sweden, with the hijackers and the money to Spain, the Swedes gave up. They didn't want them back. They had protection there. They got special housing. They weren't sent to regular prison. They were sent to what you call a prison hospital, and none of them were ill or injured. As I say, the Swedes didn't ask for extradition. They have prominent rightist attorneys representing them. Their legal work is expensive. They get anonymous donations, and the money is coming from Canada. Now, that's interesting because in the movie Parallax View, you see a corporation, the Parallax Corporation, and on the radio programs I've talked about the Permandex Corporation, which incorporated Nazis like Clay Shaw, who was involved in the Kennedy assassination, and Nazi fronts, and the money comes from Montreal, and was behind financing the three major assassinations in our country, the two Kennedys and the Martin Luther King. So the financing of the Ustasi, the parallels between what's happening to the political assassinations and the funding of the Ustasi, and the conclusions that I have that the SLA, creation of the SLA, was an extension of from the Kennedy assassination, the Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, then the Watergate, then the SLA was the next biggest story in the country. So I'm finding these links and parallels, and now it seems that the funding is coming from Montreal to the Ustasi as well as for the political assassinations. Now, well-known lawyer, as I say, is protecting this hijacker or these hijackers in Spain and doesn't explain why they were doing it, and they don't have to pay any penalties, and they are very free to enjoy what they're doing. Now, Reinhard Gehlen, this spy who worked his way up to chief of intelligence for Hitler, dealt with all the diverse national and social minorities in the country, in every group, and he had people infiltrate each one of them and turn them against one another. And this is exactly in this country, whether blacks, Chicanos, the Indians, women's movements, they're all divided. There's no organization getting itself together, thinking things through or working with each other enough to be good political forces. If they get strong, somebody disrupts them or breaks it up. And this was the genius of Reinhard Gehlen. He figured out how to do this, and he also had emigres that came to this country that have been useful in teaching other people in a very subtle way how to break up organizations. Another thing Gehlen did after World War II was to send displaced people here and say they were refugees from concentration camps. They're actually foreign agents. And he sends emigres out to promote discord against what he considers enemies or anything that would be the leftists. Now, examples of the Ustasi funds there covers, one is the Kalmuck Tibetan Defense Society. Another is the Free Ukrainian Committee. These are foreign nationality groups that the Justice Department has a list of, but they're infiltrated with a lot of agents. And it's this kind of thing like Aliens of America that Quebec used, or this new group that bombed the ITT, the New World Liberation Front. Well, this is the way the Ustasi works. Think Free Ukrainian Committee. Well, what would you have, you know, what against that, except that it happens to be agents that are trained in terrorism, bombing, and violence. Now, that is their specialty. That's what they exist for. They are the flank that comes in to get ready for fascism. They've done it in many countries. They're doing it. The havoc in Argentina is terrible right now, and they're doing it around the world. So I think we have to ask ourselves in this California scene about the Yugoslav connections, just specifically Arturković, Krbeković, and Rangel, the three that I've mentioned, and their links to the Los Angeles Police Department, the California prison system, and find out about getting Arturković deported out of this country. Now, the CIA in 1972 set up what they called a cabinet committee to combat terrorism. And the State Department knows about the Ustasi. But what they're doing is they're using the extreme right wing to do so much terrorism that if the left wanted to do it, the Palestinian group or the Irish, they counteract, and then all terrorists are a suspect. And as I say, all weapons can be received. You know, they check everyone at the airport. Everybody can be identified who travels from place to place. There was another member of the Ustasi who called from the Los Angeles airport recently and that said an airplane had a bomb on it, and the pilot brought the bomb, the plane back. There wasn't a bomb, but the story was linked to a woman, I have her name here, to Huntington Beach, California. And again, Arturković lives in Huntington Beach, California. These planes are brought back and everybody is threatened with these bomb scares. And besides that, some of their bombs really go off, so they have to be watched. Well, I want to go next week. I'm going to do a two-part thing on the program next week. I want to go into the Ustasi Nazi links, not only in Yugoslavia, but the Nazis in the ITT, the Nazis in Chile now, newspaper articles saying a Jew will be hanging from every lamppost, the Nazis involved in the Watergate, these are German Nazis, not the American Rockwell kind of Nazis, the Nazis behind the John Kennedy assassination, the Mullen associates of E. Howard Hunt, and then go into the links of E. Howard Hunt to all of these Nazi fronts and organizations. And then we'll go into a suggestion of Representative Holtzman, Elizabeth Holtzman, asking Congress about these Nazis that are in this country. She says that we are a haven for 73 alleged war criminals over the last 25 years. This was May 21st, 1974, New York Times. And she mentions Arturgovich down in California. Well, our time is up. Next week, we'll go into the specific Nazis involved in some of these affairs. And write to your congressman about the Ustasi. And take care of yourselves. I'll see you next week.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 10 years has been researching the facts behind political assassinations and conspiracies in this country. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KELRB-FM in Carmel, California.